Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is The Widow's Club with Alexandra Wyman.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode. I'm just so excited to be here with all of you today, especially because I am touched and honored to have a guest with us today. Award-winning podcaster Rebecca Johnson is with us, and I'm excited for this conversation. And I have to say, Rebecca and I literally just met like 3 minutes ago, and we just happened to be in the same Widows Club, different ways, but the Widows Club. And I was actually put in touch with you through my podcast producer, and he was like, you got to go check out this podcaster. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. And that's how we ended up here, where Rebecca has been kind enough to join us today on the Widows Club. So Rebecca, welcome.
I am so honored in so many ways with that introduction. I had no idea that I was on anyone's radar or to even be like, hey, go check this widow out. That's exciting.
I can't wait until someone says that about me. Go check out that widow over there. Go do that.
Well, just so you know, I actually already have. I sent you my friend's information, and so she is already checking you out.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for that. See, this is why I love, like, the podcast community is just awesome. More and more, I'm finding just how connected people are, and it's not, sure, there's, like, awards and stuff, which we'll get into the award that you received, but I just appreciate that people are like, no, you have a message, you go for it. You just go for it. I love it.
Absolutely. We all have a story. And one of the things that I say, I am no different than any other widow. Absolutely. Nothing makes me more special. It's just we all have a story and we need to share it.
Oh, well, please do share yours. I'd love to hear, and for our listeners, just how you got to where you are now.
Well, my podcast is Love Is Not Dead. Just my husband. Honestly, the story of my husband's loss is not traumatic. It's not significant really in any way. My husband passed away in his sleep. No health issues, nothing that we needed to be really concerned with. He just decided that he was done. That's the way that I look at it. And he was ready to go. And that's how we all would hope that we could go one day. But my podcast is not necessarily about the loss of my husband. My podcast is about me and widows and the widow journey, because I feel that the widowhood journey is called widowhood for a reason. It's about the widows. It's about our lives, our journey, our transformation, and what we're doing with our lives after the loss of our spouse or our loved one. So that's kind of how my podcast happened and the trajectory that it's taken.
And I have to say, I love that, because if there's one thing, and what started this particular podcast was, where are the resources? And they're out there. It's just, how do you find them? And to know that so much, and you're right, so much ends up being that label of about who we lost. And it's like, I'm more than that. I mean, my therapist, gosh, every time he tries to exit me, I'm like, no, I'm more than this. It's a part of me.
Yes.
But I'm more than this.
You are more than a widow. Exactly.
Right? I love that one of the things that you talked about in your own podcast, because yes, I told Rebecca that I've been kind of stalking her online. What all are you up to these days? What can I learn? But I love that you talk, like, you're so honest. And one of the things that I feel that's come up for me is this idea of the rules change. There are all these ideas and rules I had before, and now I feel like those rules change, and I'm like, I get to make up my own. And I got a sense from you and what you've said is you're doing just that. You're making up your own. You're finding ways to embrace this life. And one of the things I loved was how much you've been traveling.
Yeah. So after my husband died, again, resources, I don't understand why it is so hard to find resources for widows. And I didn't have any, but honestly, I didn't look. I did not think to Google once how to be a widow or anything about grief. I've never read a grief book except for one that was just last year, and it was Finding Meaning from David Kessler. But other than that, I've never read a grief book. I never joined widow groups. I never really knew about podcasting before I started podcasting. And I didn't know that there was widow podcasts until just a couple of summers ago. 2021, after my brother had died, I went on a trip and I met another widow. And she told me about this widow podcast. And I was like, what? Those exist? And she goes, and there's a Facebook group. And I'm like, what? Those exist? So it took me that many years to find widow type support. So really, truly, this whole time, I've been doing it my own way. And so that's kind of where I come up with the phrase widow your way, because I didn't know. I didn't know the resources were out there. I didn't know that there was support and love of a widow community and other people. But the problem was where I was after so many years, I was having trouble finding people that were in that same part of the journey as me, which was the moving forward part. And so that's ultimately why I ended up doing the podcast, so I can find my people, so I can find other people who are where I'm at and find that type of support and support in that way.
I love that. And even just saying there is no rubric. I mean, that's the whole thing, I think, with grief in general, right? We look for this equation, some sort of rubric that says follow this step and this step and this step. That's why I get frustrated with, like, the stages of grief. I'm like, no, those aren't right. And I'm like, no. And it's so individualized. And I love that you're just like, and the cool thing is, it's like, it's one of those things, I think, where you go, you're going to have to figure it out, right? Which, if someone said that to me right after Sean died, I'd be like, what? Nope. Screw you. But it's true. You kind of have to find your way. And I love that you are like, yes, find your way. And then it's also, you're offering another chance of like, here's a way to do it. And I so love that idea of finding people who are at that same place, because that is also, this whole process can be very isolating, because spot on, people are in so many different places and it's like, oh, okay, I've been there. I'm not where you are. I'd like to be, you know? So I love that you're trying to create that community and offer that as a support and yourself being a support.
Yeah. And the reason why it's really important for me to find people who are in the same position that I am or in the same part of the journey is because, I don't know about you, but I can get sucked back in, you know? And just like you said, you meet someone like, okay, I'm not there anymore, but I'm not quite there yet either. I don't want to go back to where I was because it was such a dark place for me. But it's easy to get stuck. It's easy to fall back into that and get back into that darkness and that sadness. And I don't want to go back there again.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. What helped you move forward from there?
It's a really good question, but it's very hard to answer because for me, I can think of some big moments where I had the aha moments, but really, truly, it's a million little moments. You know, it's just the build up to it. I don't know that I'll ever be able to put my finger on that one thing that made me want to overall change, right? I can tell you moments when it happened. I can tell you what was happening around me, what situation that I was in, but ultimately I can't give you one single thing that happened that was so memorable, obviously, because I don't remember it, that made me want to crawl out of that rabbit hole and change. I think it's just a buildup over time. And I think it's that survive versus thrive. And that's a big thing. They're like, do you want to just survive or do you want to thrive? But if you really think about it, you're thriving even in survival mode. Because even in survival mode, our bodies are telling us that, you know, we're protecting ourselves, obviously, but we're moved forward just a little bit every day. So it, for me, it's hard to distinguish when I stopped surviving and started thriving, because I feel like you can thrive even in survival mode. You're always moving forward a little bit each day, and you might not feel it and you may not realize it, but it's all the little things that just build up over time. And then one day you're just kind of like, okay, all right, I see you. Look at you living, doing it. And then you don't even realize that you're doing it.
That's so true. So true. And it cracks me up when people do ask that question, because it's like, who would say, no, I just want to survive? Like, who would say, who would really say, like, no, I'm okay without thriving? But I love also making it doesn't have to be so polarized. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be both at the same time. Because you're right. There are going to be moments where in the same day where you could feel like, oh, I nailed it. And then within 5 minutes, you'd be like, okay, we're just back to that feeling of survival. I know for my process, I needed to have something which I call an anchor, something that was like, you gotta, and especially early on, that was got me out of bed to at least like try and eat something or go to the bathroom. And it, for me, it really was my son. He was very young. He was one when his dad died. So I knew that I had to like figure my shit out so that I could be available to him. Did you have anything like that as an anchor or something that was like, okay, I can't do this for me at this moment, but I'm going to get up and do this because this is what is going to help me.
Yes, absolutely. And it was my son. It was my son as well. After my husband had died, of course I was in full blown grief mode. And 6 weeks later, I was diagnosed with a rare eye cancer. And basically, if I didn't have my eye removed, I could have died shortly after that. So I had the eye removed, and that increased my chances of survival because it is an incurable cancer. But I remember when I came home from the doctor that day and I talked to my son, and I told him what was going on. And I told him, you know, about the cancer, what the survival rates are, what are my options. And he looked at me and he said, whatever option helps you live. He said, because I can't lose another parent. And from that moment on, I knew that I needed to do whatever I needed to do to live, and not just cancer, but also with my grief, because after my husband had died, my son moved in with me, and he was there to see that. And I just, having him there with me every day, I don't know if he'll ever really know how much that meant to me and how much that is what kept me going. But, and even though he's an adult and he's not a little baby, he's still my baby. And he was my anchor for the longest time. He was the reason that I decided that I couldn't give up.
Oh, I love that. And I'm so sorry, like 6 weeks after and everything that you've been through. And anytime that I think, okay, life, like, I think I've had enough drama and enough trauma for a little bit. Like, can you back off a little bit? And I feel like life is like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, no, what are you talking about? I have like a few more major things that I need you to go through. Like, hang in there with me.
Yeah. One of the things I was told very early on by someone was that grief is like this ocean. And so you hold on to your surfboard and that's what's going to help you kind of manage it. And I love that, except I've progressed it to life is the ocean. That's what's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. And your surfboard is there. Still hold on to that. But that we're the predictability, how we respond to whatever life hands us is that predictability, rather than being like, this is what I thought. I thought I was going to get married and stay married for so many years, and that didn't happen. So what's wrong with me versus being like, nothing's wrong with you. Just life handed you some stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
I like that analogy. I do good with analogies.
Right. I feel like my whole life is an analogy. But that kind of brings me to this idea that you've had to, in regards to self-love. And I think that's so crucial to how we handle things in general. Not like, and loss aside, I will say, like, I am such a different person than I was before my husband died. Such a different person. And it's because the growth I had to do. And I'm still on that journey of self-love. I love that. I'm like, oh, if someone could just, where's my equation? Where's my checklist for how I can achieve self-love? It's just true. And so I love that. And I just wanted to see if you'd be willing to share more about kind of your journey or where you are now with that.
Man, you are asking some really good questions. Like, I was so excited. I said, oh, I got an interview today with another widow. I love talking widow stuff. So, but self-love, that is a good one. I will honestly say I am learning to love myself a little bit more every day. It is a work in progress. It is an ongoing progress. And it's been difficult. Man, you just caught me off guard with that one.
I'm so sorry. And you guys, I didn't give Rebecca any questions beforehand. I was like, we're just going to jump in and do this.
Yeah, no, I love it. But self-love, all I can say is it takes time. And it's not anything that's going to happen overnight. I have read a few self-help books, I'm not going to lie, because, you know, it is about me and I need help. I need work and I like all the advice and I do all the things. Not that I stick with them. I try them. And if I like them, I will continue. Right. But self-love is, man, you just got to dig deep inside. And I think you have to take that journey backwards, right? And the widowhood journey for me, like I said, it's about the widow. It's about you, you know? And this journey, I realized it is about me. And then one of the things was where I'm at now and just trying to find happiness. And then I had to go back and think, when was I truly happy? And I go back in my marriage, was I happy? Yeah. Was I ecstatic and on cloud nine? Not really. And then I had to go back even further. When was I happy? Then I'm thinking in, you know, my early 20s, was I really happy? No, my life was horrible. I was a single mom. I was struggling. I was working two, sometimes three jobs. You know, when did I have time to be happy? So then I'm like, go back further. When I was a teenager, was I happy? No. I mean, my parents had split up and my mom was figuring herself out and, you know, trying to find her way. And I left home when I was 16 and was I happy? No. So then I had to go back even further, like my childhood. And the last time that I could figure out when I was happy was, I don't know the exact age, but my mom used to randomly pick me up from school, like check me out early and take me to go do something. Like we would go to a movie or we would just go have ice cream or we'd go home and watch a movie and she'd make like a little plate with like cheese and crackers and the little sweet pickles. And that is the last moment that I remember in my entire life, like when I was actually happy. So now as an adult, I'm just trying to figure out what makes me happy. And as I'm figuring out these little things, I think that just, I kind of become proud of myself, right? For doing things and putting myself out there and finding things that make me happy. And it makes me proud of myself. And then I just love myself a little bit more, if that makes sense. But I think just, you have to go back, you know?
I mean, for someone who fell off guard by this question, you pretty much nailed it, I'd say.
Did I?
Well, and again, it's subjective, right? Self-love is subjective, but I totally understand that exactly. We have to go back in order that's one of the big things, is we have to heal the past to heal the present. We have to go back and figure out what are those things and who are we? I mean, I could definitely say, if in regards to loss, I don't feel that I've just been grieving my husband's death and the loss of him. Oh, like I have had to rebuild not just my physical house and my physical life, but also me. I've had to rebuild me and doing just what you're saying and being able to figure out what does make me happy. What is happy? Yeah. I recently was telling someone, I used to love watching NFL football. And that was my thing. I'd grab a beer. I had my favorite beer and I'd watch a game and I get so into it, so into it. And it's been a while. And I thought, okay, this season I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I sat down, I went out, got my beer, sat down and watched a game. And I was like, oh, no, I don't even find joy in this anymore. And I was devastated because I was like, what is happening to me? I don't have the same hobbies. I don't know. And so just to your point, it's a process to go, okay, that no longer makes me happy. That no longer fills me with joy. What else can I venture out to see? But I think just choosing yourself, as you've said, is the first step. Choosing yourself, and that is okay to do. Absolutely. Since apparently I've been asking you tough questions, I thought I'd see if we can make it a little bit more fun. I don't know. One of the things that I remark about being a widow is this idea of like dating. I feel like everybody has an opinion about dating as a widow, even if they're not a widow. Have you found anything like that? I mean,
Well, first of all, let me just say the only opinions that matter about widows dating are people who are not widows. Let me just give those people a shout out right now and tell you from the bottom of my heart and on behalf of every other widow in this world. And normally I don't do this. I don't speak for other widows, but on this platform, I am going to speak for every widow out there. Those of you that are not widows, we love your advice on dating. Absolutely love it. Please, by all means, tell us everything that we should be doing.
Oh, yes. Yes. Where to meet people? What to do? Oh, boy.
Oh, because their lives are so perfect.
I go back and forth because it is a little hard for me because Sean and I were early into our marriage when he passed. And so I see these cute little families. And so it's a little bit of envy. Like, oh, how come yours? But then there's also a little part of me that does go that route when people will ask, or it's either too soon or it's not quick enough. I actually had someone at a memorial for Shah. He died during COVID, so it was just a hot mess. So we had multiple memorials because of limiting how many people could be there. And someone at one of them came up to me. She was she was very inebriated. And she said, "Don't worry, you'll find someone soon." And I was like, I don't even know. Now I know how I would respond. At the time, I was like, I don't know what to say right now. That's okay. That's kind of appalling, but okay.
You know, we'll get back to that. But just real quick, that just reminds me, I think all of us widow podcasters should get together and write a book of zingers, like widow responses, widow zingers, like things that you can just keep in your pocket, like little short zingers that you can just memorize, like affirmations. And just keep in your pocket for the newly widowed. And so when someone comes up to you and says a question like that, you will no longer be caught off guard. Right? You now have a witty widow zinger. The witty widows.
I'm writing this down.
Mm-hmm. Write that down. Someone needs to do that. I don't have time, but I would be more than willing to back up the idea and come up with, the witty widow zingers. The book can be kind of like a children's book, like a picture of a scenario, and then the thing that somebody will say, and then the zinger.
I love it. I'm going to start collecting those. I'll start with you. That's so funny because I tell my therapist has great one-liners, and I always tell him, I'm like, I need a little button. Jen Sincero, who wrote You're a Badass, she has a little button like that. You press it.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm always like, I feel like we could just have a little witty widow zinger button where we're just like, meh, there you go. We'll just say it. Who knows which one it'll come up. Yeah.
Or one of those eight balls.
Yes.
You know, you shake it up.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, we've just started a whole brand. We're going to, I don't know if we have to trademark it, copyright. We're just saying at this point in time, Rebecca Johnson, Alexandra Wyman, we hold the name Witty Widow Zingers. I'm like, oh.
You've heard it here first.
I think it's, you know, and some people, I've met some people who can just, they say things like that, like a zinger, but they just say it so kindly that someone just responds. But I feel like with me, it's like, ugh, all my Aries anger comes out. I'm just like, oh, the sarcasm.
You like how I deflected that dating question?
You did a good job with that. I feel like there's, at least for me, there was a point where I thought, okay, I need to do this just to do it. And I know that sounds really bad for the other person, but I needed to go on a date. I mean, the first date I went on after my husband died was horrible. Horrible. And I'll just get to the punchline. The guy and it was an online thing, and he just ended up not being as honest about his situation. And again, my thing is the honesty versus what happened. But he was like, I go to the gym, I work out a lot, I do all these things. And then had some, like, he was missing a lot of teeth. And I know that sounds superficial. I was just, but wanted me to see his brand new car, right? You know, I'm like, this, we're just not jiving. We're just not jiving. And I had to laugh and I was like, oh, thanks. Like the first date out of the gate. And this is what I get. Okay. Point taken. Like message received. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, I have absolutely no dating advice. Good dating stories? Yeah. but no good dating advice. I don't give dating advice. I don't take dating advice very well either. I have no boundaries and a complete lack of self-respect when it comes to dating. My husband would be appalled. He probably thinks every time I go out on a date, he is up above and he's saying, oh, geez, there she goes again.
I think your husband and my husband are hanging out doing the same thing. Just like, oh, gosh, what are they doing? What are you doing?
He's like, how can we intervene? Like, yes. What kind of signs that they can send? It doesn't matter. You can send fire and brimstone and I'm still going to screw up that day. It's
yes.
It's not, no sign is going to make it any better.
Yeah, no. I actually, when I was venturing to try and figure out if I wanted to try a date, right? Like there was that much thought that went into it for me. And I started Googling, trying to see, are there, like, who's written a book about this? Who? No. And I couldn't find any. There was information for widowers on how to date. There was information for women on how to date a widower. And then there was, it was information for men for how to date a widow, but there was nothing for widows. And I was like, No, a few people were like, well, then you write the book. And I was like, how can I write a book when I don't have the first sense of knowing one piece of advice, like you're saying? Yeah.
This is where the book comes from. I'm giving you really good ideas. You should just go with these.
Okay.
I don't have time to do these, but you start journaling all of your dating experiences. You journal before you go out on the date. You journal about when you just journal everything as much as you can about the dating experiences. And then eventually it will come to you and you'll be like, oh, that's the key. This might help someone. My book would be How to Not Date.
I feel like that one aligns way more with me right now than anything else. I'd be like. I went to an event, like another thing. My therapist is like, be more, you know, try and be more social. See if you can go, you know, and I'm like, no, oh gosh, I have to get out of my sweats. I have to put my book. Okay, fine. All right, I'll try this. And usually once I'm out and about, I enjoy myself. I have a good time. And that's what happened with this, except there were, you know, friends who were asking me again about dating or where am I or what am I thinking. And by the time I left that event, I was like, no, I'm good. I think like hanging out at home and doing, because someone asked me again, the hobbies. I was like, oh, I like running and I like doing puzzles and I like reading. I was like, do you see a theme? I get to do them all by myself. I don't.
I haven't taken dating serious enough. That I think that is my problem. And what it boils down to is you have to know what you want. And, well, I don't know what I want. And I think that is my biggest problem. And a lot of people are out, like, well, just get out there and have fun and go on dates. And then it's like, again, I got to leave my house. I got to put in a little effort. And I mean, if I could just show up on a date with literally what I have on now and no makeup and that person have fun, then I'm like, you know what? You might be a keeper. I always say when I go out with sweats and like boots or a dirty sweatshirt and my hair everywhere, no makeup, I look like I just crawled out of a hole somewhere. I'm going to the gas station, the grocery store. I don't care, because if somebody saw this hot mess out in the streets and said, girl, you are everything I have been looking for, I will go out with you. I will go out with you. Again, no boundaries.
No, I totally agree with you. And that, and it's so funny you say the gas station. A friend of mine who is also a widow was saying that. She's like, I don't want to do this online stuff. I just, you know, couldn't I just lock eyes with someone at a gas station? And we were like, really, the gas station? Like, could you, like, maybe the grocery, should we go to somewhere a little? She's like, no, just lock eyes and we know it's good. Like, yeah, that would make it easier, you're right, than having to put in all that effort. Oh my goodness. Well, our time is getting closer, so I just wanted to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to hear kind of what you're up to these days. Let's talk a little bit more about your podcast and the award that you received.
Oh, how exciting. So I was nominated for She Podcast Sonic Bloom Awards. So I was nominated for two awards. One was Speedy Success. Now, at the time of the nomination, I don't even know what that meant, but I just said, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Thank you for someone for nominating me for Speedy Success. I don't even know what that means. But so I didn't win that one. The award that I did win is called the Sonic Bloom People's Choice Award.
Wow.
I know it sounds exciting, and I don't want to diminish this award in any way, because I was really happy to win. But it was, the award itself was based on votes. So it was people voted, you know, so I put it out there on social media for my listeners. I don't think I mentioned it on the podcast, but it was out there on social media, Facebook, Instagram, my personal page. Then there was a lot of other people who shared it as well. So it was based on votes. And so I won. I was the people's choice. I don't know how many people, but it was enough.
Yeah, right. It doesn't matter, because it worked and you won, and that's awesome. And just stamp that everywhere, all over your website, all over your podcasts. You just put it out there.
I know. I got to figure out how to do that on my website. I was thinking about that. I'm like, who doesn't want to open up that webpage and say, oh, people's choice?
Yeah.
You damn right.
That's awesome. I love that. I'm so excited for you. So how can people find you, connect with you?
Well, I spend most of my time on Instagram at Love Is Not Dead, Just My Husband, and Facebook, Love Is Not Dead, Just My Husband. I do have a TikTok page, but it's absolutely horrible. I use TikTok just to do fun stuff and use it to make reels.
No, I love that.
But on TikTok, it's Widow Your Way. It's not the greatest TikTok page, so you don't have to look for me there unless you just want to see me embarrass myself. And that's okay if that's the authentic the authenticity that you're looking for. You can definitely find that on TikTok.
Oh my goodness. Well, I want to make sure that I put all these links in the show notes. And one last thing I have for you is kind of what's coming up in your near future. What are you up to this year?
Well, just recently in November, so my cancer has metastasized. So I now have stage 4 liver cancer. So it's metastasized from the ocular melanoma. And so that has changed where I'm at with the podcast and what my ultimate goal is. The podcast has been fun. And of course, there is a message, you know, Widow Your Way. But now mostly I'm just focusing on what's going to make me happy with the time that I have left, which statistically would be about 2 to 3 years. But, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm going for, you know, 5 or more, maybe even 10. So, but with that, I do have like a newfound motivation, I guess, on what I want to do with my life. So basically, I want my podcast to be my legacy, and I want it to be a place where people can come back and they can remember me. I want it to also be a resource for family and friends who are grieving and might need help, you know, working through their pain and their loss after I'm gone. So with that, there, I want to bring in other widows. I want to start doing interviews and interviewing other widows that have been through that transformation journey and are looking for their happily ever after, or, well, I call it a happily even after. And I also want to bring in some experts, because I'm not an expert. I don't like to be called an expert. I call myself an experienced griever, but not an expert. I don't want to be an expert, and I don't want to be a person that gives advice, because I'm still working through these things myself. So I just like to think of myself more as a guide. And I do want to bring in some resources and some people that will, you know, can help people more through their grief process, to bring in some things that I wish that I had in the beginning, but also for people to be able to move forward. Because I don't want, when I'm gone, I don't want anyone to get stuck like I did. I want them to continue to move forward. And I think that would be the best way for them to honor me, is to move forward and live their life. So that's kind of where my podcast is pivoting a little bit. And then I'm also excited that I'm going to be writing a book this year.
Oh my goodness. Can you share a little bit about it?
It's definitely going to be nonfiction. I'm still in the process of working with someone, and we haven't really gotten to everything yet, but it's basically going to be, it's going to be about my journey, but hopefully in a way that people can relate and ultimately just know that there's a happily even after loss is ultimately the goal, because I don't want people to be stuck in grief. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I know, as cheesy as that sounds, there really is. Sometimes we just can't see it because we're just not pointed in that direction. But, you know, maybe it can just steer someone in that direction, and then they can be able to see it.
It's like mic drop right now. I don't even know. I just think I'm so grateful to you, Rebecca, and your journey, and your message is definitely what people need to hear. And I think it's amazing that you have this podcast. I think it's amazing that you're going to write this book, because we need to hear what you have to say with all of your wisdom and your guidance. And I get that about not being the expert, but I feel that people can learn so much from you. And I'm just so grateful for you being here and joining us today. And I hope that we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, I really appreciate you having me on the podcast. And and as much as you're tooting my horn, you should toot your own horn, because you're doing a great job. And we were talking about that before, like what you're doing right now in your podcast, the last couple episodes. I mean, you're really providing resources. And I think your podcast is amazing. And I think you have a beautiful story. And yeah, sharing it is what is going to help people with this.
Well, thank you. See, we just need to get more widows together, because we just lift each other up. You know, I feel like we could keep going. You're great. No, you're great. No, you're great. And we all are. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm excited for you guys to be able to have heard us today. And yes, I hope you all have a beautiful week, and I will catch up with you soon.
Thanks for listening. For more about Alexandra and her work, go to forwardtojoy.com.
come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many rogues that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at AveryRich.com.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.